You have what you have because you think you have what you have. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, University of Philosophy, here in Campo, California, with the Absolute Philosopher. You have what you have because you think you have what you have. And you really don't have it at all. In a recent article in Discovery Magazine, the author writes very charmingly about his hometown of New York City. The dirty, filthy, bacteria-ridden, virus-stricken town of New York, where every known bacteria and virus exist, and where tropical bacteria and viruses come in from tropical ports, and there are no known anti-agents against those things. And many of the viruses are so powerful that everything that had destroyed them in the past doesn't destroy them any longer. And they live on and on and on. And with these 8 million people, I believe that's what he said, 8 million people in New York City, very few are disturbed by the viruses, or very few are disturbed by the bacteria. And he goes in there and he takes a swab. Here he shows him in the public transportation, reaching on the pole that you hold on to keep you falling over while you're going along on the train. And he reaches up there and gets a swab of gook from somebody's hand or nose or whatever it was, and takes it to make a test of it. And he makes a test of it, and he finds that nothing's wrong with it. It is below the level of anything that could be bothersome to anybody. And there are some new things there, and there's some old things there, but it's the way most of the city and New York is, with germs, bacteria, viruses, and things that do not bother anybody. And then he goes home, and he listens to the news and so forth, and he realizes where the bother comes, because people get implanted in their minds that the problem is there, and then they go and expect it. You heard of a hypochondriac. A hypochondriac is a person who takes every disease that comes along. If you are a person and somebody comes along and sniffles with a cold, oh, I'm getting a cold, and they didn't sniffle, you did. But they want to claim every wonderful experience that comes along. They're a hypochondriac. And is this what you want to do? Do you want to have every given situation that comes into your mind and your body and your life? It's fascinating, isn't it? Another article in this publication goes into the energies of the world. And it speaks about the energy of hot spots and the energy of gas and thermal, geothermal, and uranium, and hydroelectric, and that's water over the dam, and natural gas and coal. And they say that in Nigeria, there's 3% of the world's natural gas. Well, 3% of the world's natural gas, do you think they're using 3% of the world's natural gas? No, they aren't. They have many more things, too. But that's just one of the energy things that they talk about here. Now, how are they using these things? They're telling about the wind power. If we could put up windmills in areas that are not being populated, we could have more energy than we could need for about a whole city, a whole country, and it would be produced effortlessly, without any pollutions, without any problems. It's utterly amazing what they can do. But what I told you about this noon, I think, is the most interesting thing. They are developing the system whereby they can transmit electricity without having wires. Now, oh, that's so wonderful. Oh, that's so exciting. Oh, that's so beautiful. Well, how do you think you get your television? How do you think you get your television pictures? How do you think you get your radio signals? How do you think you get your cellular phones? It's being broadcast. Well, he goes on to explain how that happens here. And he points out that energy is utterly amazing. And here he shows the picture of how the energy is being used. And he points out here that the cell phone uses 1.9 gigabytes of energy through the atmosphere. Now, and the other 180 megahertz for a television and 88 megahertz for a radio. And for air traffic control from the Earth to the airplane, 30,000 feet in the sky, 1 gigahertz is all the energy it takes. Now, he points out that all these energies are invisible. We don't see them. And they're interlacing and interresponding with one another. And when you go onto your computer and you go onto Word in Microsoft, you are using a software program. And then you press a button, and then the button says save. And then it dives down into your network of information and your network of wires, and not really wires, but I mean of energy, and plants it somewhere. Plants it where you can pick it up again later, and it is safe. It is secure. It's not lost. And now, if it's on one type of computer, it could be lost. But if it's on a computer that is just a chip, of the chip memory, it can't be lost, because it's put there forever until you choose to take it out by actually taking it out. Well, now, it's not just radio and TV signals, cell phones, Wi-Fi, laptop, walkie-talkies, and more. It is a thousand other things that all lead to the bedlam of activity going on in the universe, in our invisible universe. Now, think about this. What is that satellite that's up there? The Hubmobile? Hubble? The Hubble satellite? And where did it go? Everywhere under the sun, to all the planets. And from them, it sent back signals with its batteries. And it wasn't that big. And little batteries, little tiny. And the batteries kept operating year after year after year without anything regenerating those batteries. Now, that is spectacular. Now, it shuts off occasionally. We think that it shuts off because it has run out of juice. It hasn't shut off because it ran out of juice. It went behind a planet. It went behind some great object up in the sky that we hadn't even realized nor paid attention to. We live in such a fabulous universe, in such a remarkable universe. And the thing that I think is most remarkable of all is that your eensy-teensy-weensy little brain created it. You created that satellite. You created the radio system. You created the batteries. You created all these things. You did. You say, well, I didn't. Another human being did. You could have been the one who did it. You just were interested in something else. You were probably chasing boys when other people were creating satellites, So it's just the way the ball bounces, But the magic of it all far exceeds anything that our friend could do. What's his name? Who is a great magician?
Oh, David Copperfield.
Our friend Davy, he could not begin to do the things that are being done and the magic that's being done in the universe. Now, we read the life and teachings of the Masters of the Far East, and we read about the wonderful things that they have done. And we say, fiction, fiction, fiction. Okay, fine. Then we read about the scientists. And we say, the scientists, oh, how true that is, how valid that is. Well, that's fiction too. Because they're speaking from their thought. They're speaking from projections. They're speaking from possible things that could be. And Einstein had theories. Everybody's got a theory. And none of them are so wise. None of them are so bold as to say, this is a fact. Because facts can be proven non-facts. Every fact has the anti-fact opposite it. They say, well, that can't be so. Fact's a fact. How can it have an anti-fact? Well, it's just the way it is. Everything, the positive has presumably a negative. We look, and this is not really an anti-fact, but what is it that computers do? They have a plus and a minus. But they don't have a plus, do they? What do they have?
Zero.
They have a zero and a what?
And a dash.
A plus. Well, it's a dash, yeah, but which is minus, you know, presumably. But they just have two symbols that make up the way that a computer creates everything that is. Now, everything that exists in the entire universe can be spelled out on a computer with a circle and a dash. That makes it up, totally. It can define it, describe it, enfold it, and hold it. It can cover it completely. And we say, oh my goodness, that's a miracle. 2 times 2 is 4. Who says? You know? Who says these things? Now, Hans Christian Andersen, what did he do? I'm an ugly duckling. You know? And in his story, the little bird thought he was an ugly duckling because he thought he was something that he was not. And then when he got his code figured out, and when his relatives came along and saw him, they said, wow, what a gorgeous, what?
Swan.
What a gorgeous swan. It's not a duck at all. Now, who's going to come along and say that the space is not what it is, but it's a beautiful swan? Who's going to come along and say, no, it isn't. It's a duck. It's a beautiful white duck. It's a goose. It's a swan. You know, what is it going to be? Now, if we go through life with the attitude in our mind that everything has to be understood and described, we will have a very confusing, unhappy life. But if we go through life realizing that everything is an exciting mystery, revealing itself every moment to us in manners that we could never dream possible, and we couldn't. Because, do you know how to make a computer? Do you know how to put together the code for a computer? Do you know how to set up a program? Do you know how to program a computer? Do you know how to hack a computer? Do you know how to plug in electricity? Do you know what electricity is, positive and negative? Do you sometimes touch the wrong one at the wrong time and get a little jolt? Mm-hmm. It's a fact that the hot and the cold, the negative and positive lines are there. And you should know that. You can easily tell it. You can easily tell it. But no, you don't. You say, I don't know. But you do know. You do know intuitively, and if not intuitively, you take the wire and you touch it to something, and if it sparks, then that's hot. If it doesn't spark, then that's cold. See? It's a negative and a positive. You know right away. So you take a little piece of tape and you put it around the hot one, and then you're okay, and you just go about your business. But you see, is that wisdom? That logic? Reason? You know? Is the hot bad? Is the hot good? Is the cold bad or good? You know, our batteries sometimes go dead because they have no electricity in them. And then we say, the batteries are dead. They're cold. And so then we charge them up and they're hot again. They're ready to go. But are the batteries hot just because they're filled with electricity? No. It's only when they're working that they seem to get a little warm. You see, this beautiful plethora of knowledge and wisdom and so forth doesn't mean a thing, and yet it means everything. It's what Stephen Hawking is playing with all the time. It's what Einstein played with. It's what all of the other great philosophers and psychologists and scientists play with. There's no reason to it. There's no truth to it. There's no falsehood to it. There's only an isness to it. And the isness, now let's see, who's going to give me the word? The isness dwells only now. And the isness may be different in another now. You understand?
Yeah.
With other activities going on. But our now, your now, my now, right now, the isness is what it is. And we should be aware of that and say, I know that I know that I know, now. And as we say that, then all knowledge is revealed to us. Now, Sylvia sits down at her computer and it doesn't work. And she says, oh, shucks. And she has a cup of tea. And then she sits there and says, computer, you and I have been friends for a long time, and you've always worked right. Now, please, don't let me down. Work. Just work. And she sits there drinking her tea. And meanwhile, inside the computer, it's writing itself. And so then Sylvia turns the computer back on again, and boom, it works perfectly. Now, did Sylvia make the computer work, or did Sylvia reveal that the computer was always working? She just thought it wasn't working for a moment. Maybe because she pressed the wrong button, maybe because she did something, maybe because she wanted to prove to herself that she could reveal it. Mm-hmm. Now, can you do that? We do that, don't we? All the time. What's the key terminology in working with computers? If the computer has a problem, shut it off, leave it shut off for 30 seconds, maybe a minute, 30 seconds, and then turn it on again, and almost without reservation, it begins. Because what is it doing? What is the computer doing when it's shut off?
It's
balancing itself.
It's emptying itself in a way.
All of its electrical circuits are returning to their original purity and integrity. It's balancing itself. It's returning to what its normal way of operating is, and then it's ready to go. But this is true. Now, if you think that, you will experience it much more often. If you don't think it, then you're putting a negative cause in motion. So now, when you think that when you turn off your computer, all of its percolating and all of its activities and all of its things, they just settle back. Now, all the little zeros and pluses and zeros, all the little pluses and zeros fall back into place. And the pluses all go on top of each other, all the zeros go, big tube. And then, when you turn it on again, they all say, okay, time to dance again. And they jump back into their pre-programmed program, and operate perfectly. Now, I'm sure that a scientist would try to explain it quite differently, but that's the logic of it, and that's the way it works. Now, think of that. Think of that. Now, let's just dwell for a moment on something that we could apply it to for ourselves. Each one of us live in a human body, which is pluses and zeros, which is just that sort of thing, electronic energy at function. And so we get our body out of order. And so the doctor says, take two aspirins and go to bed and call me in the morning, doesn't he? Take two aspirins and go to bed. Why?
Balance.
Get yourself back in balance. Let the aspirins take the pain away and lay down in bed and sleep and relax and wake up after a wonderful sleep. And sleep your hours, whatever it is, 6, 8, 10, 12 hours, but sleep. And then when you get up, you feel wonderful. You feel filled with energy because you are now rebalanced. You return to your original purity and integrity. So you say, I am whole and perfect. Now, let's play the game a little further. Ingeborg, who's bouncing around in your brain?
Energy.
10,000 stem cells every day, which are pure energy.
Yes.
These 10,000 stem cells born new every day in your brain, undifferentiated. They don't know what their job is going to be. And they're waiting for you to say, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect. And then they dance to your tune. And they make every cell of your body whole and perfect because that's all they know how to do. And other cells in your body which may not have been whole and perfect are overridden. They are, what have they done? Harmonized.
Balanced.
They are balanced and harmonized. And as they're balanced and harmonized, as they return to their original purity and integrity, every negative aspect of your body, which may have been for a moment, is no longer there because it has gone back into its original purity and integrity. It has been balanced out. Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you like that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Then do it.
Mm-hmm.
Just remember what's going on in your brain.
10,000 stem cells.
10,000
I'm waiting for my instructions.
Waiting for your instructions. And that's a big clue. They're waiting for your instructions. I'm sick. I'm sick. Oh, I'm poor. No way. We don't tell the 10,000 brand new stem cells that don't know any better that we're sick. They don't know that we're sick. Just tell them you're whole and perfect, and then they will sweep in with that concept of wholeness and perfection. And that's what we will experience and know all of our lives. Kind of wonderful, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Now, are you ready for it? Yes. Are you doing it every day of your life? Yes. Are you? And now we're going to ask a very telling question here. And if this person answers the question correctly, she will receive $10 zillion or Swiss francs or whatever. Are you, Beatrice, the ideal woman?
Yes.
Beautiful. 10 trillion Swiss francs. Wow.
Wow.
We know you. We know you. So, you are what?
The ideal woman.
The ideal woman. Now, when you walk through life as the ideal woman, what does the world think of you?
That I am the ideal woman.
It sees you as the ideal woman. It expects you to act as the ideal woman. It only knows you as the ideal woman. It doesn't know you as anything else. That's what you're telling your 10,000 stem cells every day. Every day you're telling them, I am
ideal woman. I am the ideal woman.
I am the ideal woman. I am the ideal woman. Enunciate your words clearly.
I am the ideal woman.
Beautiful. Now, are you?
Yes.
Are you?
Yes.
You?
Yes.
You?
Yes.
I just can't hear you shake your head.
I said yes.
Yeah, but you got to say it loud enough so that my microphone can hear it, because it's saying, what did she say? What did she say? What did she say? She's not in the group. Yes?
Yes.
What?
I am ideal woman.
I am the ideal woman. And last but least of all,
I am the ideal woman.
And I am the ideal man. Aren't we wonderful?
I'm the ideal. Yes, we are.
Remember that.
Yes.
Yes.
Enjoy it.
Thank you.
Call it forth.
Yes.
It is done.
All right.
I love you. I love you. I love you. Yeah.